Hey everybody, welcome to the Expanding with Andrea podcast. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Andrea. So thank you so much for listening. Today we're talking about how you can start to make your mindset work or the work you do in therapy really start to sink in deeper, really start to feel like not just in your sessions, but between your sessions, between your calls with your coach, between self-help books, these transformations are actually sinking in and really making a difference in your life. This was something I really struggled with for a long time, and I think it was for a few reasons, but I was constantly reading self-help books, hiring coaches, going to therapy, doing hypnosis. Like, I was working hard on myself, everything I could think of, but I could never really get it to last. So for context, you guys, I am neurodivergent, I have ADHD, and I have a lot of open centers in my human design chart. So I've always found that I have a really open energy, like my surroundings, the people around me, they're always really influencing me and how I feel. And it's a thing that I really love about myself, but I think it's something that makes transformations like this a little bit more challenging. It wouldn't be long before I went back to my original sort of factory settings in between my therapy appointments or in between my calls with my coach. And I think it's because on my calls live with my coach or in session with my therapist or when I'm around my most supportive friends or whatever, it's easy for me to take on that energy and feel that confidence, but it's a lot harder for me to hold that energy on my own, especially if I go into like a chaotic environment. I'm around somebody who has maybe some negative beliefs or projections or just sort of things like that just ends up shaking up my energy a little bit and I don't love it. So I really struggled with this, beat myself up with this about this for a long time, you guys. I know you know that. And I wanted to make this episode because when I started figuring this out, this is something that I felt so hopeless about for such a long time, that when I started to really figure this out, it was an absolute game changer. So I want to talk with you about why does this happen? Why does it become so difficult to hold and maintain these transformations, even when you're on board? You know, like these are changes you want to see in yourself. So why is it so hard for the neurodivergent girlies and the open center girlies to really sink into these habits? So number one, if you have ADHD, bestie, you don't really build habits. Like your brain is not going to really achieve what neurotypical people talk about, which is like, oh, I started doing this every day and then eventually it was on autopilot. And if you really think about it, therapy is building the habit in your brain to think differently, right? To look at the situation that you're in and think differently about it, or to not catastrophize or not engage in black and white thinking or things like that. Like you're training your brain to think differently. And if that is what, it's not to say that that can never happen, but I think that that happens way later for neurodivergent people. And I think if that's your primary goal in therapy, step one, build this new habit. That's sort of a losing battle. You're going to feel really discouraged really quickly. And there's just other ways you can do that. Okay. Like there's other ways you can do that. The way that I find that people with ADHD really work is that we need a lot of conscious reinforcement. So like I might not just be able to wake up and naturally feel super positive and like really, really great. And like, I've let go of my old thinking and like, I've let go of my generational stuff. And every single day, I might not be able to be in that energy because of my ADHD, or at least I think it might be because of my ADHD, because again, that would be some type of habit to build, right? But what does help me is maybe I wake up and I see like a little motivational poster thing that I have on my wall that's like very vibey, that makes me feel good. And then I put on an outfit that makes me feel like my best self. And then I talk to one of my most uplifting friends, or I listen to an uplifting podcast, or maybe I'm listening to affirmations while I do my makeup or whatever. When I have those conscious reinforcements in my life, it sort of really easily brings me to that place because that's where I want to be, right? It's just like I might need a prompt to get there. So that's my ADHD theory. Now, if you have a lot of open centers in your chart, so One of my clients, Roxy, is a reflector, which I always forget, but then I learn and then I freak out because I love reflectors. They're so great. If you got a lot of open centers in your chart, Roxy's got all open centers. I've only got 3 defined centers in my whole chart, okay? So a reflector has all open centers, and they're meant to, and the way that we learn about reflectors in human design is they're like the mirror to their community. They're so easily influenced. If you're in a community and your reflector is doing bad, the community is doing bad. If your reflector is doing good, the community is doing good. Your reflector will always, like, it's just so sensitive, and like that's the gift that they have, right? Like the reflectors make really great coaches, really great therapists when they are able to work with their energy, because they're able to hold a mirror to their clients with such, like, if you've done the work on yourself, you're able to hold that with such a neutral energy, such a lack of judgment, that it's like very powerful to experience like any type of relationship with a reflector. So they're just pure magic. I've only got 3 divine centers in my chart. I've got my divine sacral in my throat because I am a manifesting generator. You need those too. And I think you need something that connects them, or I don't know, something. And I have a defined spleen. I don't know what that means. Okay. I don't know what defined spleen means. I don't know, but those are the only 3 in my whole chart. Okay. So I find personally for me, but I also have other friends with lots of open charts, where we have open centers in our chart is where we take in the world. That's why we're so easily able to take in that inspiration. That means that when I'm with my coach, I'm reflecting her drive and her vision of my higher self, and I'm doing all of that because that's just naturally what I'm going to do. But in that same breath, if I'm with somebody who maybe doesn't believe in me, if I'm with somebody who is projecting a negative self-image onto the people that are around them, I can really easily take that energy on. And that's kind of what open centers do, right? And that, I don't want you to think that that puts us in a situation where we're just at the mercy of everyone else. Open centers learning to protect and be in their own energy is huge, okay? That's like a huge life skill that we all have to learn. We all have to learn how to empty out of other people's energy. We all have to learn to let go of other people's projections, especially our open center girly. But I don't want you to think that these things mean that we can't improve, that we can't lock in a more lasting change. It's been historically really difficult for me to deeply connect to like a long-term internal shift. But what I've learned to see it as is a real superpower. So because ultimately, if you have ADHD or a lot of open centers, I notice that most of us seem to be really receptive to therapy, coaching, self-work. We don't have resistance to these new ideas. Like if we're in the energy of somebody who's really embodying their truth, it's really easy for us to even take it so far as to take it on as our truth, which we have to be careful about. But the fact that we're able to take on these new energies, for some people, that is half the battle. That is the hardest part of therapy. That is the hardest part of coaching for them. My friends with defined centers have like very grounded energy. They really, really know who they are. And they'll even come to me and say, like, I feel like I get a different version of you every day. And in a lot of ways, that's true. Like, that's just a special part about being me. Aw. So even my friends who are in therapy, who are really working on themselves, who are great, really have a fixed view of themselves. They're very grounded in who they are. So it's harder for them to take on these new ideas. It's harder for them to do this. Not all the time, but a lot of the time, right? Just like how a lot of the time it's harder for open centers to hold these deep transformations, to really anchor into these deep transformations, to build into these habits sometimes, right? So it's not to say every single time this is the situation, but they are the other side of that coin, right? So it's almost like for my defined center friends, it'll take them longer to get on board with a new approach or a new thing. But once it's locked in, it's locked in, okay? So that openness is really beautiful, and that openness can be brought into our ADHD as well, right? Or into our neurodivergence as well, right? But it can also just be difficult to hold that energy. There's pros and cons to both, right? So what I really like is, A, I'm not going to overwhelm you with a bunch of stuff. I'm going to take the top three sort of off the top, the sort of easiest things for you to really achieve and to lock in. I don't want this to be a long episode. I want this to be useful for you. And I want you to be able to go back and listen to this when you need to, because this doesn't have to be the end of the world. Like, you can absolutely lock in these changes long term, right? So the first thing that I've noticed really makes a big difference, and I need you to know, this advice is going to seem basic, sort of like when people tell you, well, I'm feeling a lot better lately, and you ask, oh, well, what are you doing? They're like, I'm just making sure I'm drinking a lot of water. And then we're tempted to like roll our eyes and be like, yeah, drink water. That's what everyone says. Well, that's so basic. Like, almost like you're above that advice. But if you're really checking in with yourself, you're not drinking enough freaking water. You're not drinking enough freaking water. You know you're not. So my first thing that really, really made a difference for me is I'm really careful about my circle. Okay. And everyone says that. That's like a really basic piece of advice. And even like the bros are like, hang out with people who are richer than you so that you'll become rich like them. And it's like, this can get kind of cringy, but it's not about that. It's really about saying, if I will really pay attention to things like, I'm coming from therapy, I'm coming from a coaching appointment, I'm coming from listening to my affirmations, feeling like just really good about myself, because hearing these things, I'm so open to feeling that way, right? I'll notice the people that it's really hard to hold that positivity around, that feeling. So sometimes it's friends, but sometimes it's, there's like different restaurants I don't go to in my city, like when I'm feeling certain ways. Like, I know that I'm just really sensitive to my energy. If I'm feeling really, really good about myself and I go to hang out with a friend, or maybe I'm meeting a friend's new boyfriend, which we know is always touch and go. Always touch and go. We've got to be careful, right? So if I'm going to go hang out with a friend or a new friend or whatever, and I'm noticing that I'm feeling really, really good before I'm going over to see them, but then afterwards I'm like, oh, I'm kind of feeling shitty and heavy. Like, I'm doing a lot of check-ins for how I'm feeling in my body when I'm around people, and I will potentially hang out with that person less, or less for a period of time while they're going through what they're going through. I'll still be a good friend, but my energy is so sensitive. Like, I've really got to put my energy first. Number two, people bash on affirmations. A lot of people say affirmations don't really work. And I don't think that affirmations work the way that people think that they do. I think that it's a lot harder to use affirmations to fully install a new belief if that's all you're doing. But what I think that affirmations can be, especially for our open center girlies, is they can be a great reinforcing tool just to have playing around you, I guess, like while you're getting ready, while you're doing things, while you're walking, not with the pressure of like, this is changing my brain deep down, which it might be. I haven't seen the research on that, and I really try to be open about it. That's not to say it's not valid. That's to say, like, I haven't seen research on this the way I've seen research on hypnosis, the way I've seen research on EFT, right? I haven't seen the compelling research on affirmations to really feel like I can really say that it will change your beliefs. But what I do think it can be is, it's not a bad idea to have for your conscious mind to just hear nice things about yourself. Just because something isn't going to permanently work instantly and rewire your brain and send you into a quantum leap, that's not really how growth works anyways. So it might be a good idea to find some affirmations to listen to keep you holding that energy. You'll get better and better at it as you go, but especially in the early stages, or if you feel like you need a boost, listen to some affirmations and just sort of let that be the vibe of your environment. We're really sensitive to our environments. Now, in terms of keeping your energy and your vibe good, something useful to do, go for walks. Sit alone on the grass for as long as you feel like you need to, because you need to learn how to be in your own energy. Okay? Like, we need to be like emptying out from other people. We need to just be on our own. Not only is this just like a great self-care practice, like going for walks without your phone, like without your phone, no music, not your phone on airplane mode, just like be by yourself. Like you don't always need to be taking in stimulation all the time. Let yourself get bored every once in a while. You need to figure out how to be in your own energy. You need to figure out how to sit with yourself when you're bored. Letting yourself get bored as someone with ADHD is one of the best and most healing things you can do for your brain, because it takes us out of that constant under overstimulation situation. Like it takes us out of productivity mode. It takes just like let yourself be bored. You don't have to go there and meditate. You can just like let yourself be like sit around until you're like, okay, I'm done with this now. Like let yourself get there. You know, it's really, really important. It's not just good. It's not just a good rest for your brain. It's not just good to like, for like an energetic hygiene practice. It's not just good because it's grounding. It's not just good because it's alone time. This is just good for your nervous system to do this. Okay. And that's really it. You guys, we can keep it simple. These changes over time will be a lot easier for you to feel like your own person, that the growth you want is available to you. I will never send you something that requires you to do it perfectly. I will never do a podcast episode that requires you to be perfect, because I'm not. Sometimes I'll go months without being in my own energy. Like it's just so easy. I live with a roommate. Like I really like having stuff playing in the background. Like it's hard for me to take time and even just turn my phone off or put my phone away for a little bit. Like I'm really someone who's always on my phone. And so I really struggle with this. And I'm on that overstimulation, understimulation sort of spectrum all the time. So none of this, if this seems like inaccessible to you, I want you to know I'm doing none of this perfectly. These are tools that I know about that I can call on when I'm feeling like really shaky. You know, when you're starting to feel chaotic, you're starting to feel like you're in your demon energy a little bit, it's not a bad idea to try doing some of these things. And that's really it, babe. We can keep it simple. Doesn't have to be a big deal. But over time, these changes will make it a lot easier for you to feel like your own person and that the growth that you want is available to you. So try it. Let me know what you think. Definitely DM me on Instagram. If this is your first time listening, please subscribe. I make great podcast episodes and they're sort of like the self-help podcasts that I wish I had. You know, none of this is about being perfect. This is about like just looking at your life and building the life you want on your own terms, you know, in a doable way. I'm not going to come on here and tell you to do cold plunges. I just want you to have the tools to really feel like you're resourced and living life as your best self, that you're on your right career path, that your business is in alignment, that you're connected to your deeper self. Like that is the vibe here. So if that is your vibe, please subscribe. Expanding with Andrea is a great energy to be in, I guess. So I would love to have you. And like I do with most of my episodes, I've got some quick updates for my crazy life that we can close out with. So I'm currently trying to break the habit of doing too many edibles around my boyfriend's parents and then falling asleep on the couch cuddling their dog in front of them. So watch this space on that. Nothing really to unpack there, just like a simple question of like, why am I like this? You know, just like nothing really more there. My rebrand is going really, really great. If you guys don't know, I've sort of taken a hiatus on taking business coaching clients. That's what my business has been centered around. And I love business. And my approach with business has always been like helping you connect to the business that you really feel like you're meant to run, helping you channel your purpose into running a business. But I've just wanted to think bigger than that. I wanted to really say, like, I'm happy to talk business. I'm happy to talk strategy, stuff like that, if you really feel like you're into it. But sometimes I've been on calls or I've had clients who've almost felt like they'll get in trouble if they say, well, what if I don't want to run a business anymore? What if I want to do something different? Like, I want like guidance on my life's path, not just what to do, how to organize this launch, which I'm still happy to do. And I've just sort of been feeling like I want to help you think bigger. I want to help you look at your life as a whole, how to create the life as a whole that you want. Like some of the biggest growth I've had in the last year hasn't just been like business growth, redoing this rebrand, stuff like that. It's been things like I've spent a lot of time last year finding new recipes that I really like to make. I've spent time building habits around cleaning my house and around decorating, around really having my house feel like it's my space, and about thinking about whether I'm wanting to step into parenthood or not, like thinking about my own spiritual journey. Like, I just don't want to feel limited. I don't want to come on here and be like, here's what the algorithm's doing today, guys. Which I'm happy to do sometimes if you guys are really wanting that, if you're really interested in it. But I just want to feel more flexible, more connected, more attuned to you guys, and more attuned to this time of my life. So I'm excited about that. And with that, I launched a 2-week support container. So right now, like, my main income stream has been some freelance work and tarot reading. I love a tarot reading, okay? My readings are really in-depth. They're 10-card readings, and I deliver them to you in like a 30 or 40-minute video, and I go over all of it. I go over your action steps. I go over blah, 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 blah. Like, I go over so much of it, and yeah, it's a lot. These readings have so much information. Like, some of these readings are really straightforward, and people are like, yeah, I got it. Perfect. I'll run with this. But in some of these readings, they've been so in-depth. So there's been so much to unpack. And as you implement one thing from the reading, it'll be like, okay, this almost shifted the whole reading with me. So I wanted to put together a 2-week little support container that people can opt into after their tarot reading if they'd like. And they've been slay. So the way that they work is we're going to do them on Telegram, because love a Telegram moment. I have too much trauma from Voxer. I will not go back. Okay. I will not put the Voxer app on my phone. It makes me afraid. But I'll put them on Telegram. We kick it off with a 30-minute call, and I'm like, okay, let's start trying to implement that reading. Let's start getting clarity. And these questions are big questions. People are coming to me like, Andrea, I'm not sure if I should keep running my business or I should go back to another job. Like, I'm really struggling. I don't know. I might not be able to tell you that in a voice note. We might have to really weigh our options and see what feels better. It doesn't have to take forever. And when I was business coaching and I'd run containers like this, like, say, month-long containers, so this is 2 weeks, but a month-long container with me would be, I think, around $900 US. And that makes sense. Like, they're a lot of work. I love showing up with my clients on Voxer. I love being voice note. I love being a voice note girly. I love how flexible it allows me to have my business feel. It's just really, really great. So love that. But yeah, they've been about $1,000. And since I'm just sort of baby stepping back into coaching for myself, I've taken a break from taking coaching clients. This is my first sort of venture into this. I sort of am bringing in baby step pricing. So 2 weeks of voice note support is $297, or you can break it into two payments of $150, which is great. And yeah, so I'm really excited. I'm excited to bring on these people into this container, and I'm excited to be baby stepping back into coaching again, especially to unpack these big readings. You don't have to have had a reading with me to get one of these sessions. If you're like still curious about it, you're like, oh, well, I love 2 weeks of voice note support, but a reading really isn't my thing. That's okay. If you want to bundle it up with a reading though, it's $397. So you save a little bit of money there, because my readings are $111. So if you'd like to bundle 2 weeks of support with a reading, I would very happily do that for you guys for $397. And you can break that into two payments as well. So really, whatever your heart desires, whatever you dream of, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. And yeah, if you like this, please like and subscribe. I'm so excited. Bye.